Avos Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yotes 4:19, and some Mishnayots it's 4:15. Here we have Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was the father of Rabbi Dustai, who we had back in the third Perek, Mishnah Ches. But pretty much this Mishnah is all we have to know about this Rabbi Yanai. But notwithstanding that, Rabbi Yanai raises a point here which is bothering every religious person since the beginning of time, which is why do the righteous suffer and why do the wicked prosper, at least sometimes. A very clever quote from the talk show host Dennis Prager. He once said, "The believer in God has to account for the existence of unjust suffering. The atheist has to account for the existence of everything else." So it's a problem. It's a problem. There might be bigger problems, but this is a major theological, philosophical problem. Why is it that bad things happen to good people? And why is it some ostensibly bad people have great lives? The answer is complicated. Now, his answer is, "Ein biyadenu lo mishalvas harashayim va'af lo miyisuri hatzadikim." Ein biyadenu means it's simply not in our hands. We're not privy to have a full answer to the question of why the rishayim sometimes have shalva, have tranquility in this world, and also why the righteous sometimes suffer. Now, there are partial answers, there are many answers, and much ink has been spilled on this topic. I'm not going to discuss all the approaches to this now. The Gemara in Daf Zayin in Brachos talks about it explicitly. Every major Jewish thinker has discussed it. But the truth is, it's psukim. Already, this mystery is expressed and by Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Jeremiah the prophet himself, who said, "Tzadikata Hashem, yes, Hashem, you are righteous. Ki ariv alecha, but I have a bone to pick with you. Ach mishpatim adaber osach. I want to discuss your policies, how you run the world. Madua derech rishayim tzalecha. How come the way of the wicked sometimes is successful? Shalu kol bogdei vaged. And all sorts of traitorous people, they have peace, they have shalva. Why?" So it's an old question. If Yirmiyahu didn't have the answer, I don't have the answer. And the truth is, the Gemara in Brachot of Zion says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when he said to Hashem, "Hodieni na es derachecha," let me know your ways, he's asking to understand this question. Okay, so it bothered Moshe Rabbeinu as well. So again, I don't have the answers. I used to give tours in Poland to high school kids and the like, and invariably when you go to Poland and have Holocaust studies, the question always becomes, where was Hashem? How could let this happen? And my pet answer to that has always been, I don't want to ruin a good question with a bad answer. Okay? So it's complicated. There are some answers. I'm not saying there are no answers. But his point here, and our Mishnah Rabbi Yonai's point, is that the complete answer, the fully satisfactory answer to explain every instance, is simply beyond us. It's not our capacity to know. The Rambam himself says it. Everyone agrees with it. Part of existence is Hashem's prerogative, how he does things. And even though in the end, there's no doubt about it, we will know why it was just. We believe with Amunah Shlema, total faith, that Kel Amunah Vein Avel, that Hashem is someone to be trusted, and he does nothing unjust, unfair. Tzadik V'Yasharhu, he's a tzadik, he's righteous and yashar and straight, but that doesn't mean that it'll be apparent to us necessarily how and why he's doing what he's doing at this point in time. And therefore, Rabbi Yonai says that sometimes there'll be some answers, but ultimately, Ein Biyadeinu, we haven't got all the answers, and some of it has to be accepted on faith. But Be'ezus Hashem, in the end, in fact, we will have the answers. We'll understand why Hashem did exactly what he did. And that's part of a necessary part of the process of the unfolding of history at the end. At the end of days, Yimos Mashiach, and after that.